So in our lesson, we're talking about honoring God, and I want us to think about, you may recall, it's been several weeks ago, we went through these questions in the book of Malachi, and it is you remember, this is where God is, in a sense, putting them on trial. He's asking questions. When he asks these questions, they respond in this idea of, what? We don't know what you're talking about. And then he gives them the evidence that shows that, yes, you are guilty. So it's like they're standing before the great judge, and he is telling them the things that are wrong. Well, in our scripture reading, in this text that Craig read for us, there are these two questions. Where is my honor, and where is my reverence? The priests are the ones that are singled out here, and just think about the reality of the fact that these are those that have been set aside to serve God in purity and holiness. They do things where they are to have been cleaned before they can serve a holy and righteous God. There are things that they have that they are to do to even be able to come before Him. And He says, "To you, priest, who despise my name." Now that's pretty sad. The very people who you would think are the ones that understand the seriousness of serving God in holiness are the ones that are not giving Him honor and reverence in our text of Malachi chapter 1 and in verse 6. And so to be in a situation where you are not giving honor to God, you are not giving Him reverence, that's a horrible place to find yourself in relationship to Jehovah God, Lord God Almighty, our Creator, to not give Him honor and reverence. Now, we're not going to spend time on the fact that is God, because of who He is He not worthy of this? Because He is our Creator, He is God, He is thinking about how loving He is, all the things that He has done, the thoughts around the table that were just shared with us by Brother Easter, in the magnitude of what was done and the seriousness of thinking about what has been done, all that God has done, does that not, if we understand that, then we understand what God is asking. If you will honor your father, then, and your servant, your master, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? And I want us to understand that there are some passages that put us in this realm as Christians. We need to understand this isn't this idea, oh, that was the Old Testament priest and so forth. The Bible identifies you and I as saints. Right in our Bible study, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 1, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints, before the fellow Christians? What does it mean that we are saints? That, you know, there is the righteous versus the unrighteous, so that's one way to understand it. But this word saint means that you are morally pure. It goes back to the whole idea. We sometimes wonder, what is the purpose of how tedious Leviticus is, and certain books about all these laws to the priest and about holy and unholy, clean and unclean. It is to give us an idea of purity and what it means. As I said, the priest had specific garments and the washing and the things that they had to do just to be able to serve God. Well, we are saints. And in fact, it means a most holy thing. We are a most holy thing to the Lord. So you and I, when we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've been set apart for this work as a saint to make sure that we are morally pure. And then you can understand why in our study of 1 Corinthians 6, why there's such a problem in the church at Corinth, because there is not purity. There's all this immorality that's taking place, and it's got to be cleaned up. But to the Lord, we are a most holy thing. We are saints. For example, look at the wrong behavior. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse, I don't have this one up here, but look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. It's not fitting to have this immorality in our lives. And so because it's the exact opposite of who we are as saints before God. So we need to understand it's not fitting to be unclean or morally impure. Now, look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. And I have verse 8. I believe it's verse 6. Again, those big fingers on a typing on a keyboard. Revelation 1 and verse 6. John writing, revealing this revelation, he says that, verse 6, well, back up in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, grace to you, peace from him who is and who was to come, verse 4, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved you, washed you from your sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we, he's writing to Christians, are not only saints, but we need to have this idea of we are in fact priests. And that, again, you when you study the Old Testament, you get an idea of just what that meant. In fact, in the 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. So is there a priesthood today? Yes, it's a spiritual priesthood. It's not the Levitical priesthood, but Brother Thompson over here is Saint Donald Thompson. He is a priest. Do you see the force of that? Now, Lisa was telling me, oh, we've got somebody that's about to be a saint. And I said, what are you talking about? She says, oh, they found out he's performed, the Catholics have found out he performed 2 miracles. He's close to being a saint. The scriptures say we are saints. We are priests in a royal priesthood. And so I have to ask myself the same question, which is what our lesson is this morning. Am I honoring God? Or the other question he asks is, do I reverence him? So we're going to have to talk about what it means to honor God, what it means to revere him. This is very serious because the charge for us, this is how we are known as Christians. It's how you stand in contrast to those who profess to be Christians in our world, in our culture, and they're not, because of our purity of life and our conduct. And so I have to ask myself, am I honoring God? Do I revere him as a saint, as a priest? Now, if you would, go back to our text in Malachi, because I want you to see that when this question is asked, Malachi chapter 1, the opposite of this is seen in the things that are said. Notice in verse 7, the corruption of the duty is made known. What are they doing wrong? How are they not honoring God? He says, well, you offer defiled food on my altar. Now again, their response is, in what way have we defiled you? We're not looking at this like we did critically some time ago. The table of the Lord is contemptible when you offer blind as a sacrifice. Is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? So when we go over this section, we talk about, well, what is that saying? How do you make application of that today? He says, you're not honoring me, you're not revering me. And was I expected to bring some type of animal sacrifice today? Of course not. That passed away. But are the principles and the truth still found in why we study the Old Testament is there for our learning? Yes, we do. Because we actually sing a song, here we bring our offering on this holy day. So do we bring offerings? We talked about this last week when we talked about we love him because he first loved us. How do we show our love? Well, it's through obedience. It's by the very sacrifices that we make. And so we've talked about this, but we're looking at this from the standpoint of do I honor God, or do I, or is there a corruption in my duty as a priest, as a saint? Because God was not being honored and revered by his people. And so we have to think about this. And if you look at this, you know how I sum this up? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Verse 6. You offer defiled food on my altar, yet you say, in what way have we defiled you? By bringing your junk. But the way I sum this up as I was thinking about this is, am I really honoring him? Am I really revering him? Or do I have a sorry, and here's how I was thinking about this, a sorry attitude and effort on my part? Do I have a poor attitude as a saint? Do I have a terrible attitude as a priest? What kind of effort? Well, what I see is people going, you know, I don't want to give the best. I'll just get one of my junk lambs out of the flock and bring that and give that to God. That's what God's accusing them of. So where I'm going with this is this idea of, what is my attitude? What is my effort when it comes to being a Christian, to being a saint? So let's define some words. Where is my honor? Well, what does honor mean? Now I'm going back and I'm looking at how the Hebrew word is defined and used it back a long, long time ago. You know, we sing a lot about this. This very point. We sing the song, Strength and Honor, Give to His Holy Name. What does that mean? What does it mean? Strength and honor, give to His holy name. We sing, worthy of riches, blessings and honor. We sing, worthy of wisdom, glory and power. What does this mean? God asked that question about honoring Him. Where is my honor? Well, what is it? Well, Strong's uses a very interesting word. He uses the word, he says it means weight. So I'm thinking weight. You might even think heavy. Where is my weight? Now think about that. This is what I had to do. I'm trying to understand what it means to honor God. Where is my weight that belongs to me? Does that mean anything to you as you kind of mull that over in your mind? We have a saying, he throws his weight around. Just think about how we use that idea. He's worthy of his weight in gold. Does that help in any way when you think about this idea of how this word, where is my weight? What God is asking when he says, where is my glory? Where is my, so I looked up the word honor in just the regular dictionary, and it says, where is my high respect. So obviously it's not this idea of where is my respect, but honor is where is my high respect. And so when I started thinking about this idea and weight and this idea of high respect, if you think about this, value comes to mind. That's another way of understanding, where is my value? So when you kind of put all that together, do you see now the idea of where is my weight? Some of you are thinking, Well, God is heavy. God is worthy of having all the value and weight of who he is. And so we don't use the word weight that way, really, when we talk about weight. So let's look at when it's used, and this is how we kind of learn honor. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. So we'll put up a few passages, because I think we learn this idea of, now think of a parent who is thinking about, I have weight in our relationship. I have respect from a child. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, what that does is that carries over the Old Testament teaching of how in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, and the promise was that you would have a long life. And yet there's been children, of course, that have honored their parents and have died young. So it's not a promise in the fact that, yeah, if you honor your parents, you're going to live a long time. But certainly there is a lot of trouble that comes when we do not honor our parents. So this is teaching from the law of Moses to the Israelites, and it's still in the New Testament. So the word here in the New Testament is to fix a value, to revere. So honor your father and mother. And so now we start thinking, okay, well, I honor my father and mother by, I have respect for them because they are my parents. Now, the difference in honoring God, I think, is if you'll plug in that word high respect. Because what that does for me is that says, I respect my parents, but God supersedes them and has the high respect. Do you see that? Because there's a lot of people that don't. They'll obey their parents before they will obey God. And at some point in time, that may be how it gets started in your learning obedience, but that's got to change. And of course, I think we understand that. So where is your parents' respect? Where is their, you know, how do you show them your respect? And so we'll be talking about that. Well, I've introduced this idea, and this is how we'll finish the lesson with this idea of attitude. Well, just think about this, attitude and effort. How do I show my honor to my parents? Well, you can have a sorry attitude. You can give a sorry effort. And in the parent-child relationship, that affects the relationship. And so think about this now in what God is asking. In Psalm 104 and in verse 1, this gives you an idea of honoring God. And again, I'm not sure how well I did on this idea of weight, but that's something that you can chew on and think about how you relate that to the word. Then it meant there's weight. And if you think about value in weight, solid, they're worthy of their weight in gold. In a sense, then I think you can begin to see some of the thoughts that I'm trying to convey. Look at Psalm 104 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. It is who God is. It's where we talked about, you know, how do you fashion in your mind just how great of value God is? Well, when we understand how valuable that is, that's why we make sacrifices. We forfeit things of value because we see the greater value. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and also verse 7 to 10. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Now I looked at this verse here because the false teacher uses this passage to say, well, if you'll give God honor, then what he's going to do is he's going to increase your wealth. So we call this the health and wealth TV evangelist that says, if you'll just bring God honor, he's going to fill your barns. Well, what we want to emphasize is giving to the Lord our blessings. And we often think of dollars. We often think of, well, I was pretty generous around the in the collection plate today. But I want us to think again and answer this question. Am I honoring God? Well, what about our time? We have to think much broader. What about the time that we spend? Well, what more does God want? I mean, I come every time the doors are open, and so that's about 4 hours a week. There's 168 hours in a week. Did you know that? and you say, I'll give him four. And then you start whittling down the amount of time you come to worship, and you're even saying, okay, I come once, I come twice. Now I'm two out of 168. So we tend to measure things in that realm or how generous we are. But think about the amount of time that I devote in my studies, and then think about stretching that out even further, where you start thinking about it's not just dollars, but it's my energies. And I often will say to the younger generation that, you know, you've been given strength and you can use your strength. You know, in your youth, you can mow 6 yards and not feel the effects of that. You know, you can help somebody. You can do all kinds of things with your energies. You can share with others, or you can be stingy, you see. And that's what God was saying. He was saying, where's my honor? You wouldn't treat your governor this way, but where is my honor? And so it's because, why would we do this? Why would we give of our resources, our time, and our energies? Because we know and we understand that God is worthy of our highest, highest respect. And highest puts it at the top. There's not anything, if I understand grammar correctly, and I tend to add a lot of more highests, but then I'm told that's not the way that works. I just had that happen this past week. I used a tense and I said funniest, and it's more funny. But I'm not the only one who struggles with that, because I had somebody else ask, or heard somebody else ask that question. But you understand, highest is the top. It's not the higher of the highest, it's the highest. And God is worthy of our highest respect. Now let's plug in this idea of reverence. And it's actually, when Craig read it, he says, where's my fear? Where's my fear? So reverence is this idea of fear. It also is, where is my terror? Well, we think of passages that say, yeah, but love casts out fear. And that's true. Your relationship should develop with God, that it is a very personal, a very endearing, it's a father and child relationship, but it never should develop to the point where he's just a good old boy upstairs, or he's like a grandpa, or he's like some benevolent being. That's not God. There should always, always be a profound understanding of, while we can draw near to God and he's not very far away, we're light years away with regards to honor and always understanding our place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let him exalt us, because we understand this humility. We humble ourselves. And so there is this fear, there is this terror, because God is God and he's not a man. And because of that, for that very purpose and reason, he is to be revered. And where does that lead me in when he says, where is my reverence? See, that's the question. Is he worthy of that? Well, obviously he is, because he's questioning them on whether or not they're doing this. So because he is to be honored, we should also understand that he is to be revered. Now, in our text, let's go back to Malachi. And let's look at verse 7 again, because what it does is it shows us the opposite of what we're talking about. The opposite of revering him is what he says when he says to them, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, that's actually the opposite. And what that is saying is, God's saying, my table in your mind is not feared. I'm not respected. I'm not honored. I am not feared. Because what you've done is you've made my table worthless. That's what contemptible means. You've made it worthless instead of fear and being revered. Is there a lot of people that, and I think that Brother Easter was touching on this around the table, when we do not understand what we're doing, or we're we're not focused on what we're doing. Are we showing respect? Are we really fearing God as we should to know that this is a very serious thing that He's called us to do? I think that you could say that, yeah, when I don't do this in a proper manner, which is what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they just made it a common meal. They were not remembering Jesus' death as they should. And in doing that, they've made the Lord's Supper something that really is just a habit, worthless, take it or leave it. Now, do Christians do that? Yeah. We just set it aside and we say, I'll get it next week. Is that showing God the honor and the reverence that is due? Remember, He's to be feared because He is a great God. And we should never confuse His love and His mercy and His kindness and lose sight of the fact that He is still God, worthy of our highest respect and reverence. Now in Psalm 111 and verse 9, you also have this passage where it says, He has sent redemption to His people, speaking of God. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome or reverend is His name. What is that saying? The name of God is holy. And that was so serious to the scribe. When they wrote Jehovah's name, some of them would not even dare write it. And it's kind of like when I tell you that in my notes, I capitalize every time deity. If I think it's talking about deity, it's going to have a capital letter. And that's so I understand God can never, in my mind, be brought low. I've always got to make sure that He is holy. Now, the name of God is reverent. So this is why we turn to a passage like this and we question, why would a man on earth want to wear such a title? Why would you want to? I was reading, I think some have the idea, well, I wear it because this is who I am and this is what I do to God. I don't think that's why men are wearing that title. Because what tends to happen is if one wears the name reverend, you know what the other one has to do who's been there longer? He has to add another adjective. He is the senior reverend. Well, this is something that is reserved, I think, for God. And since it translates over to awesome in the New King James, that's why we say, listen, not every little thing needs to be awesome. We need to make sure that God in our mind is always awesome. So here's where we land when we kind of put all this together. And I'll make this quick. This, don't get worried about all the verses there. What we're talking about is, how do I honor Him? And it comes down to in my attitudes and efforts. Back in Malachi, the attitudes and the efforts of the priest, they were shameful and sinful. And if we put it in our words, we'd say it stunk. It was terrible. And Jesus dealt with sorry attitudes in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8 and 9 in the scribes and the Pharisees. Because in that passage, we know that their honor and reverence was only in lip service. They did not honor Him with their heart. And that's where we find it challenging. And I should have had Brother Easter preach the sermon because he was on to some of these things. It's like, are we just singing and it's just lip service? Or is there honor and praise and reverence to God? They honor me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. And what they did not do it because they loved God who first loved them, tying it back to last week's lesson. So you can sing songs, you can pray prayers, you can give of your means, you can listen to preaching, you can partake of the Lord's Supper, you can go check, 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 did that, and it mean little or nothing. because of what we're talking about. So last week we talked about, well, how do we show our love? Well, we obey. We obey God. And this isn't just merely listening to preaching. James chapter 1, verse 22 is you hear and you do. You hear and you do. And so we honor God when we lift Him up in love and we obey. And this means my attitude has to be right. Listen, the attitude about my brothers and sisters in Christ has to be right. And last week we made the point you have to examine yourself. Don't point a finger because there's four coming back at you. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 15, don't bower and divide one another unless you consume one another. So what is my attitude about that? Am I going to honor God or will the amen be said and I'm going to bite and devour? The Bible says not to grumble and complain in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8 to 11, like they did back in the days of Moses. Am I going to grumble and complain? Am I honoring God if that's what I do, is just grumble and complain? James chapter 3 and verse 9, we are to refrain our tongue. In James 3 and 9, he says, with our tongue we bless God. And then he says, you know what we do? We curse man who's been made in the similitude of God. 1 minute, we're praising God, the amen is said, and we're, what are we doing? We're cursing man. I can tell you, Satan quickly disrupts unity and harmony in a congregation. You know how he does it? He uses the tongue. Not having restraint in the grumbling and the complaining. Disobedience, this is my point, is not honoring God, just like the priest in the days of Malachi. It is not honoring God. To be disobedient means I'm not reverent unto God. You and I really don't fear God when we talk about these things and then we're guilty of those things. That's hearing and not doing. God said, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? And I would say this, if you have been thinking about this lesson and you thought, wow, so-and-so sure needs this, you have missed the point. You and I include myself, don't really fear God when I can apply it to any and everybody else. And I'll end with this. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow, let Him be your fear, let Him be your dread, Isaiah 8 and verse 13. That is a good description of the reverence part. So, in words, I can honor God, but in my actions, in my attitudes, they can stink, just like they did in Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Well, you might be here this morning and you're not a Christian. Do you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? We always extend an invitation. We want to provide the opportunity for someone who might be desirous of putting on Christ. You can't put Him on unless you're baptized. And not, you know, you have to turn from sin. You have to confess your belief in Christ. And you have to be baptized for the purpose of washing your sins away. It's an obedient act that's in the direct. It's called a planting in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It's called a burial in Romans chapter 6. It is in likeness of Christ's own going into the grave and being brought up out of the grave. He says, I want you to go down into water, and I want you to crucify the old man of sin, and I want you to come up out of the water and walk in newness of life. And that's what the Apostle Paul says, I was told to wash my sins away. And that's immersion in water. And so we have water and things are ready. Maybe you're a child of God, things are amiss in your life, and you need the prayers of the congregation. We stand ready to help anyone, as always, as together we stand and sing.